Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So, Father, we thank you. We're so grateful that you speak to us, that you show us who you created us to be. We invite you to remind us of what your word says. We invite you to remind us of prophecy we've received. We invite you to change our trajectory, because we want to see your kingdom come on the earth. And we thank you for your unconditional love. And we pray that as we move forward, you would speak to us through your word, that you would give us words to declare over each other's lives, that you would release supernatural hope no matter what we see.
Good to see some of you guys that we haven't seen in a little while. I just wanted to make a couple quick announcements. The one that's most important is next week we have some guests with us. Now, about last year we had encouraged you guys to read this book right here called The Handprint of God. Everybody remember this? Mm-hmm. Some of you read it. As we were talking about becoming part of the Hopewell Network, we had asked people to read that, and it's the story of the revival that sparked the Hopewell Network. You know, there was a group of people just seeking after the Lord, and there's a story in the story of a bar that became a Bible study, and saw lots of miracles, saw lots of salvations. So next week, everybody say next week.
Next week,
the people that own the bar are going to be here to talk to us. So we're going to get to hear some firsthand of what the Lord did during that season, and just the way that the church grew, not just in people, but in power and in presence. So don't miss next week. All right, I'm going to invite Bob up to share.
Good morning. Good morning. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful, wonderful week. Snow, a little bit, not too much, a little bit. Enough to call off work.
Yes,
for me. We've been journeying with God here the last few weeks with communion, community, and commission. And last week, Dave shared on the communion, which is without the communion, we really can't do the community and commission. It's that intimacy with God that is so important. And driving to work and listening to some teachings and things like that. Not this week, but the past few weeks. The scripture in John 4:24 came to my mind. It says that God is a spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And as I was just listening to that, and that the scripture came to my heart, I heard the words, the Spirit is truth. And that was probably like late last month, and it's just something that's just been in my heart for the last few weeks. And right after that, Pastor Matt said that we're going to be reading James through Jude. And lo and behold, if you read 1 John 5:6, it says, "This is he who came through water and blood, his baptism and death, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. It is the Holy Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth, the essence and origin of truth itself." And when I was reading that, it just really got me thinking about the Spirit. You know, it says that God is the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God that hovered over the earth. It was the Spirit of God that spoke everything that we know into existence, even us. You know, and when we pray, we don't pray from the physical realm to the physical realm. We pray from the spirit realm to the physical realm. And it's we pray to release heaven to earth. It's your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Matthew 6:10. And when we pray, it comes from our communion with God. And that's what prayer really is. It's our communication. It's how we communicate with God. It's how we worship him. It's how we love him. And it's how we spend that time with him. You know, it's really the only thing that we can do in every situation that is going to impact that situation. So I want to talk a little bit about a community that prays today. And there's a little disclaimer on prayer. You can't be praying for things that aren't really scriptural, you know, for your lottery ticket to have the winning number on it and, you know, fun stuff like that. Although, you know, if you do win it, we'd like to share with that winnings with you. It just got me thinking about what we see when we pray, when we see God move, and also when we don't see what we pray manifest. And I think we've both been in both of those situations. We've all been in those situations where when we pray, we see God move, and when we pray, we don't see very much at all. And that tends to discourage us if we don't see that manifestation. We don't see those things come to pass. And what that kind of stuff can do is give us, you know, bad theologies, bad belief systems, make up excuses as to why, you know, those things that we're praying for don't happen, you know, even though that we know what the word says. You know, the gospel of Jesus says that he healed all the sick. It means he healed all the sick. You know, then maybe we don't see that. And then you know, we start to say, well, maybe it's not God's will to heal everybody. Or maybe it's, you know, maybe God has another plan. Or maybe this, or maybe that. And what it ends up doing is gives us excuses to cope with our situation. And all that's a lie. I want to kind of break some of that kind of stuff off. Something that came to me last night was, is we cannot compromise the gospel to fit our experience. Absolutely not. And I've spoken a few times about the scriptures in Matthew 17, verses 19 through 20, about the epileptic boy. And it says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, why could we not drive it out? He answered, because of your little faith, your lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. For I assure you, most solemnly say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, in the New Testament, the Greek, there's two interpretations of the word littleness. It's a kairos and chronos. There's two different words. Kairos is a word that is a lived and experienced. It's that littleness. It's almost like an amount that you can fit in your hand, so to speak. And chronos is measured and counted, like time. And in the scripture, it's the measured time of chronos, which means how much time that they spent fighting for that young boy, how much time they spent in prayer and casting that demon out. So that's just kind of where I'm opening. I want to spend some time to counter those thoughts and those beliefs. I want to spend some time in Daniel chapters 9 and 10 today. So in Daniel 9, I want to read verses 3 through 19. And don't get used to it. I want to ask someone to get their phone out with a timer on it. Okay, I want you to time me. So I'm going to read his entire prayer that Daniel spent, okay? Ready? Okay. So I directed my attention to the Lord God to seek him in prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and extends loving kindness towards those who love him and keep his commandments, We have sinned and committed wrong and have behaved wickedly and have rebelled, turning away from your commandments and ordinances. Further, we have not listened to and heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us confusion and open shame, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, in all the countries to which you have driven them because of their treacherous acts of unfaithfulness, which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belong confusion and open shame, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he has set before us through his servants and prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, even turning aside, not obeying your voice, to the curse. So the curse has been poured out on us, and the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has carried out completely his threatening words, which he had spoken against us, and against our rulers, the kings, princes, and judges who ruled us, to bring us a great tragedy. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything so dreadful like that which he commanded and was done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, as this tragedy has come on us, yet we have not wholeheartedly begged for forgiveness and sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our wickedness and paying attention to and placing value in your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the tragedy ready and has brought it on us. For the Lord our God is uncompromisingly righteous and openly just in all his works, which he does. He keeps his word and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name as it is today, we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteousness and just acts, please let your anger and your wrath turn away from our city, from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and the wickedness of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become an object of scorn and contemptuous byword to all who are around us. Now, therefore, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant Daniel and his supplications, and for your own sake, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and look at your desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you because of our own merits and righteousness, but because of your great mercy and compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. Do not delay for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. How long was that?
4 minutes and 10 seconds.
4 minutes and 10 seconds. Keep that in mind. 4 minutes, 10 seconds. It may have taken longer. Sometimes that stuff comes out a little bit longer in prayer. 4 or 5 minutes, okay. So we'll go to the next three verses, 21 through 23, and says, while I was still speaking in prayer and extremely exhausted, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and he talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and wisdom. Here's the key. At the beginning of your supplications, the command to give you an answer was issued. And I have come to tell you, for you are highly regarded, greatly loved. Therefore, consider the message and begin to understand the meaning of the vision. His prayers were answered at the very beginning of his prayers. It took 4 minutes to get there. So if we go to Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, it says, "In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I ate no tasty food, nor did I any meat or wine enter my mouth, and I did not anoint." Amplified version says, "refresh and groom." Kind of nasty. For 3 weeks. He says, "I did not anoint myself at all for 3 full weeks. So if we go to verses 10 to 13 in Daniel chapter 10, it says, "Then behold, a hand touched me and set me unsteadily on my hands and knees. So he said to me, 'O Daniel, you highly regarded and greatly beloved man, understand the words that I am about to say to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And while he was saying this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief of the celestial princes, came to me, for I had been there with the kings of Persia.'" So the first prayer took 4 minutes. The second prayer took 3 weeks. The second time they said there was some opposition. There's things that go on in the spirit realm that we don't see, we don't understand quite. But the point is that the prayers were answered from the very beginning of you beginning to sit down and pray. It was answered immediately. The length of time that it takes to get here is what we fight for. You know, and sometimes I think that maybe we can handle those 4 minutes. 4 minutes is pretty easy to pray for 4 minutes. And we get excited about that. And maybe, you know, we get excited about praying for four hours. I mean, we really get in it if we're praying for 4 hours and worshiping and having a good old time, right? But what about, like, you know, 3 days? Oh, man, 3 days. How can I pray for 3 days? I got work, and maybe I could take a Friday off or a Monday off, and I can really get into it for 3 days. And, you know, it would take a little bit of, you know, finagling to you know, my schedule and stuff to get there. But, you know, then it comes to 3 weeks. Wow, I don't have that much vacation time. How can I pray for 3 entire weeks? You know, I got pets to feed, you know, I got haircuts, I got work I got to go to, I got all this stuff that I got to do for 3 weeks. I don't know, how can I do that, you know? And I think sometimes we might get discouraged because it takes that amount of time to fight for what you're praying for. You know, in Daniel 9 and 10, it says that our prayers were answered the moment you started speaking them. The very second you opened your mouth, your prayers were answered. So what do we do? What do we do when we have to pray a little bit longer than the 4 minutes or maybe 4 hours? So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ." That didn't really help much. Now, what do we do? We got to pray for longer, be unceasing. Okay, well, how do we do that? In Romans 8:26, is where I feel like the key for this is. It says, "In the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf and sighs and groanings too deep for words." I believe that we can pray continuously without ceasing by praying in the Spirit. It allows us to do the things that we need to do and understanding that our spirit is still interceding for the things that are so close to our heart that we're fighting for. So I have 3 scriptures on this. It says in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Jude, again, one of our readings, Jude 1:20 says, But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. And the last one is Romans 6:28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I repeated that one. It was a different version I used there. So how do we pray in the Spirit? I think first we have to understand what it means to pray in the Spirit. So praying in the flesh is when we have something on our hearts and we pray from a place of our five senses. What we see, what we hear, what we're experiencing. And when we pray in the Spirit, we just give it all to God. We listen for His voice. We put it in His hands and seek the Holy Spirit on how and what we should pray. And we can experience the way the Holy Spirit carries that prayer forward. It's drawing into the heart of God and His Spirit and His existence. The Spirit of life will bring whatever we are praying for to life. It gives life to it. Just like in Genesis, the Spirit of God gave life. It gave life to the plants, the animals. It gave life to us. It was that Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit empowers the prayer and carries it to the Father. The prayer will have a living quality, and we know that we are in God's presence and speaking directly to God, and we have a confidence, like in Daniel 9 and 10, that our prayers were heard and God responded to them from the very moment we started to speak them. When we pray in the Spirit, it embodies our body, our soul, and our spirit, and when we are working and doing life, our spirit continues to intercede on our behalf and continues to release it until we get back to where we can have that time to sit down and pray with Him again. We can pray every chance that we get, but our spirit allows us to pray without ceasing, to pray while we're asleep, while we're working, while we're eating, while we're raising our kids, and while we're doing all the fun stuff. Becoming that kind of a community, I think, is very vital. I mean, if you look in the book of Acts and how they were coming together with daily with one accord in prayer and all these different things. They were together in one. And I think it has to go. We don't know always what to pray for. We can sit in the Spirit and pray, but if you have specific requests, making those requests known to the community so we can intercede with you is very important too. Whether you want to put them out there as a whole during a service or writing on a paper or whatever it is, just that we know what's on your heart, that we can sit and intercede, and we can pray and intercede, and our spirit will pray and intercede with you also. One thing I just want to point out, there was a minister, his name was John G. Lake, that had a healing ministry. And on the West Coast, I think it was in the West Coast mainly, I think he was from Canada, but he kind of settled in Washington and in California in that area. And he would send his team, he had a prayer team, that he would go out to people's houses and they didn't return until the person was healed. Hospitals were shut down. The people came to his ministry team before they even went to the hospitals. And they were staying in that fight forever how long it took. Now, I don't know if they slept there, if they camped out, or I didn't get too far into the details, but they were willing to put life on hold to go to someone's house every single day until that breakthrough came. Spending that time in prayer, spending that time in the presence, in the Spirit. And the best quote that just sticks with me about praying for that breakthrough and healing and things like that came from Bill Johnson from Bethel Church. I don't know the entire conversation, but it says that someone asked him how long they should pray for. Meaning, length of time. And he said, you pray until you see your breakthrough. you don't give up on it. You stay in it. You stay going after it. And if you don't see it right away, you fight even harder. I think it's a lot easier to stay in that fight longer and harder when it's a family member or a very close friend or maybe a church member. But, you know, we all have people that are on our hearts, groups of people that we want to pray for breakthrough, no matter what it is. You know, even you always see the children hospital commercials on TV. You see them a lot right now, you know, praying for the children in those hospitals that need healing. And maybe it's some of the coat drive, the people that need these things. We pray for them too. And everybody has someone on their hearts that we want to pray for. And we want to pray with you. So if something is on your heart, having a prayer list for everyone to join in that would be a good thing. And I believe that when we're in that communion and in that presence and just getting deeper into that, our hearts will change. You know, and He'll strengthen us, and our hearts will shift until we start to have the heart of God and see that everyone is worthy of our prayers because Jesus said they were worthy of our prayers. When He died on the cross, He said, "You're worthy, just like you." So when He died on the cross, He said, "You are worthy." Even if we might think in our minds they're not worthy, they are worthy because He died for the sins of the whole world. And I want to close with this. That when we pray, we have to have faith that the Word of God or His Spirit is that truth. That when we pray, our prayers are answered immediately. So we go to Him thanking Him that He's hearing our voice. It says in Galatians 2:20 in the King James, I'm going to go old school here, the King James Version, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." A lot of the other versions says, "I live by the faith in the Son of God." King James says, "by the faith of the Son of God." It means that we have the faith of Jesus. The faith that we possess is His. It's our portion. In 2 Peter 1:1 says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." The Greek word that was translated "like precious" in this verse, I'm not going to try to pronounce it because it's weird. It means of equal value or honor. So we have equal value faith for our prayers. Faith of Jesus. It's His faith. And in Romans 12:3-4, this is the New American Standard Bible. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." We all have the equal portion with the same power and authority that Jesus has. In 1 John 5:4, the American Standard says, "For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You know, everything that God releases, every prayer, every time we sit down and start to pray, everything God gives us and releases into our lives is accessed through that faith. Having an understanding that we have that faith of Jesus in us, you know, we use our faith to receive and to fight for whatever that we're praying for. So I just want to encourage everyone to just stay in it. No more discouragement. Things that you're not seeing or not seeing right away or in the time that you want, just get in and pray harder. be a community that prays. You know, we are set here in this specific space, in this specific community for a reason. We all have a part to play. But we have to be that community. We have to be the ones that want to do that. We have to be the ones that may not even know what needs to be prayed for, but we pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit tells us what this community needs. So if you can stand, if you like to stand, I'd like to pray over you. Father, I just thank you for being a Father that hears, a Father that listens, and a Father that has the compassion in his heart to hear what's on our hearts. And a Father that just desires us to have his heart. So when we have those desires of praying for people's healing and breakthroughs and in different communities, that is your heart. That you love them way more than we would ever love them. So we thank you for allowing us to join in that together with you. I ask that you open our hearts and give us wisdom and revelation to what it is that we need and whatever it is that the situations and circumstances need. We praise you and honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well right here. I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm digging a well.